Hudson Taylor's Choice Sayings, Chapter 18, being read by Peter John Parisi, also known as Brian Dean. None of my audios are copyrighted. Please feel free to make as many copies as you desire to the glory of God. Chapter 18, Suffering. We are called, when we suffer, to take it patiently, and more than patiently, thankfully and joyfully. Because seen from a right point of view, there is neither ground nor excuse for impatience, but on the contrary, abundant cause for overflowing thanks and joy. Till he come, our master expects each of his followers to do well, to suffer for it, and to take it patiently. He is still an example for us, and we should follow in his steps, who did well, who suffered not for himself, but for us. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church, has become a proverb true. However, so long and so long only as the church sees and appreciates her calling. If we want to know the power of his resurrection, we must also know the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death. Even here unto where ye called. To what then are we called? To do well, to suffer for it, and to take it patiently. A pretty calling, says unbelief, and turns away in disgust. Sad but true, responds many a true but sad heart. I thank thee, O my Father, says strong faith joyfully, for so it seems good in thy sight. Not by resisting, but by dying. He overcame him who had the power of death, even the devil. Such was the lesson taught in the life of the Lord Jesus. Who wishes to learn it? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear, for even hereunto were ye called. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, to be free from sin. And this is the end of the worst that man's malice can ever bring upon us. I don't know how it is, but the boards seem to me to grow heavier than they ever were. Boat traveling. However, I can pass a night very contently, if not always very comfortably, and if I never fare worse, it will be long before I complain of the hardships of missionary life. I seem to be writing from the inner chamber of the King of Kings. Surely, this is holy ground. I am striving to write a few lines from the side of a couch on which my darling little Gracie lies dying. It was no vain nor unintelligible act when, knowing the land, its people, and its climate, I laid my wife and the darling children with myself on the altar for his service. The hated and contempt of the Cantonese was very painful. Foreign devil, foreign dog, or foreign pig being the commonest appellations, but all this led us into deeper fellowship than I had ever known before with him who was despised and rejected of men. I believe that we shall see those successful who can in patience abide God's time. If the storm come, let us bow to it, but hold on to our anchor. If we cannot make much headway, let us try to hold on, and in time, wind and tide will change. God may try us. He will not fail us. Burdens such as I have never before sustained, responsibilities such as I had not hitherto incurred, and sorrows compared with which all my past ones were light, have been part of my experience. But I trust I have learned, in some feeble measure, more of the blessed truth, that sufficient is his arm alone, and our defense is sure. Not infrequently our God brings his people into difficulties on purpose, that they may come to know him as they could not otherwise do. Then he reveals himself as a very present help in trouble. It makes the heart glad indeed at each fresh revelation of a Father's faithfulness. It was with the decline of persecutions that the decline of the church began. Worldly prosperity, and not adversary, brought in spiritual death. It is lack of this element of real privation and deep suffering for Christ's sake that enables the energies of the church at home and causes the limited success of her missions abroad. God has used angelic messengers, but not as an angel did he come. If he had been born as a Roman citizen, he could not have been crucified. But Jesus became a Jew, and could therefore be subject to that death. It is an easy thing to sing, "I all on earth forsake." It is not very difficult to think, and honestly, though very ignorantly, to say, "I give up all to thee and for thee." But God sometimes teaches, one, that little word "all" is terribly comprehensive. Thank God. He has left me much, very much, and above all, he never leaves us. We were to prove, however, that no unforeseen mischance had happened, but that these circumstances, which seemed to try very necessary links in the chain of a divinely ordered providence, guiding to other and wider spheres. I had not then learned to think of God as the one great circumstance in whom we live and move and have our being, and of all lesser external circumstances as necessarily the kindest, wisest, best, because either ordered or permitted by him. Hence, my disappointment and trial were very great. It is comparatively easy to take a low place when others are ready to exalt you, or to appreciate the spirit which leads to it. But when these you feel to be far beneath you in mind, in civilization, in almost everything, treat you as all but savages, and when you know that you only need to take the upper hand, there is a great temptation to do so. We who only see so small a part of the sweet issues of trial often feel that we would not for anything have missed them. How much more shall we bless and magnify his name when all the hidden things are brought to light? The great enemy is always ready with his oft-repeated suggestion, "All these things are against me." But oh, how false the word! The cold and even the hunger, the watchings and sleeplessness of nights of danger, and the feelings at times of utter isolation and helplessness were well and wisely chosen and tenderly and lovingly meted out.